You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Hey, never touch the buttons. I can use some information.
Whoa, for this price, I'll tell you whatever you want.
I'm looking for a hut.
Close for the night. Thank you.
Gangsters, war criminals.
Long live the Empire.
We'll take out every bad guy in your deck of cards.
This isn't about revenge. It's about preventing another war.
Strap in.
You will suffer. And then it will be his turn.
Before going into harm's way, check your armor. The kid will live centuries beyond me. I won't always be around to protect him.
Are you scared? You should be.
Do we run? Or do we fight?
I like this kid.
What are you waiting for? Let's save the rest for after dinner.
Yay! Yay! Welcome.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of
Awesome.
Yeah. This is a finely tuned machine. This is a perfect example of us doing the amazing stuff. Hi, how you going? How you going,
Hello.
Jill? How you going, Quinny?
Hello.
How you doing, Jill? How you doing, day 101-ga? Which, funnily enough, is exactly how it sounded to me coming across. I'm like, what? Anyway, and hello to the
If you're going
to
speak Hutti, you probably should try and speak it with the original accent, because otherwise you sound just a bit weird and racist.
Yeah, just like, you know, if you're going to speak Hutti, do it in Australian. Bo shooter. Day one I wonga. Jabba Hutti no prinky.
Oh, God.
Yep.
The All wonky right. Chewbacca.
Yeah, who's got a wonky Chewbacca? I just gonk out immediately.
Yeah, let's just say gonk anytime.
Gonk. Hello, how you going? How you doing? How was your weekend? Was it good?
It was
rainy.
It was, yes, damp.
Slightly damp. Damp weekend.
Yeah, damp. And we went and watched a movie and then we hung out and we had a meal and it was all very, very nice.
Yep.
But the movie is what we're here to talk about.
Are we here to talk about
something? Well, I don't know. We don't have to. We could talk about anything else if you'd like.
No,
we
I mean.
Talk about the meal.
Let's talk about the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The movie's slightly less dramatic.
Yeah. So obviously we are talking tonight about, the full title, Star Wars, The Mandalorian and Grogu with an ampersand. I don't understand what the fuck is going on with that.
Okay.
Are you sure it has an ampersand?
Yes, it did. I went and checked the fucking thing. It's fine.
And anyway, yet on the poster, it's an and.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Consistency.
Who cares?
Yep, we don't know. Who cares? Who gives a shit?
We don't know anymore. This is the follow-on from Mandalorian.
Typographers care.
Mandalorian Season 1, Mandalorian Season 2, Mandalorian Season 2.5. Which is the Book of Boba Fett, and then Mandalorian Season 3. And now, finally, the movie that no one was expecting, The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Season 4.
A movie.
Yeah.
The movie
Season 4, / whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Another season of TV dressed up in a trench coat with a movie in a movie trench coat.
Yep. 100%.
Oh my goodness.
So we love our Mandalorian, don't we? Like we're all down for a bit of the Mando.
Space Daddy.
Space Dad and Space Sprog. or Frog, if you want to go that way.
Sorry, I just realized we need to amend that numbering system that we just used there. Like Mandalorian season 1, Mandalorian season 2, Mandalorian season 2.5 being Book of Boba Fett, those three episodes that had nothing to do with fucking Boba Fett.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Mandalorian, where has he showed up somewhere else? I feel like he showed up somewhere else, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been in Fortnite. Because they're not afraid of a cross promotional, vertically integrated franchise crossover, are they?
No. Right. We love when characters that have got no reason to be in Fortnite turn up in Fortnite. It's my favorite.
No, he didn't show up in Ahsoka, so you know.
All right, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. I'm like, did he show up in that? No, he didn't show up in Obi-Wan.
But Grogu did. No. Oh wait, was Grogu in Ahsoka?
Grogu show up in Ahsoka.
You're thinking of Ahsoka was in Mando season 2.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Fuck. Yeah,
it's been a lot.
And that whole Book of Boba Fett thing that really fucked up everybody. And it's like, you know, yes, it's another series, but in fact, there's the other half of that season in there, and this is just another season.
But I mean, look, you know, we're getting guest cameos from people from Star Wars Episode 9, which is the Anzellans, the little robot guys.
Oh, right.
I know, right? That's where they first appeared, or they were first discovered. We're getting characters from Rebels showing up.
Yes.
Quick, if you know the name, it was mentioned just once in the film.
Zeb Rebels.
Yep.
They
called him Zeb once in the film.
Oh.
It was like, wait, what?
If you know, you know. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. But it was also like 2/3 of the way through the film, and I'm like, okay, fine. Finally, you've given him a name.
Yeah. I honestly, like, to me, that was the thing that made me kind of go, what are you doing here? You know, like, you've got a really great character who there's a whole bunch of people who love that character and, you know, big fans of Rebels and stuff like that. And you kind of put him into this fairly fucking thankless role of just showing up, saving people, kind of having a couple of little one-liners.
Yeah. Quinny, he was in an episode in the series, and if you didn't watch it, I can't help you.
With no explanation as to whether they're totally fair.
Yeah, yeah. Great.
I don't know. I found, like, I love Zeb, and I was kind of pissed at how they treated Zeb.
Yeah. Look, I mean, of all the people to be dirty about, that's fair. I mean, there's a lot of strange expectations and a lot of strange things going on in this film that we're talking about. The one that's in cinemas now that you can only go and see in cinemas with a popcorn bucket we didn't get here or whatever.
So, give it 4 weeks, it'll be on Disney Plus.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there's a couple of those ones which have turned around quite quickly that I'm like, oh, that's already on streaming. Ah, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm honestly expecting this to go directly to Disney Plus, but also to go to Disney Plus and be cut up into another season.
Sure. Yeah. You were going to go back and they just cut it up and call it Mandalorian season 4?
They could. I can see no reason why they couldn't.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of like the reverse Section 31 from Paramount, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. Which they were like,
why would you fucking evoke that piece of shit?
We're making a bunch of fucking television series episodes. Oh wait, it's not going to happen. We're going to crush it all into a movie, and then we're going to release that, and it's going to be bad. But we'll take it back out again, and we'll just turn it into a TV series. No, we don't need that. In fact, I don't need to see the Mandalorian and Grogu re-split up and put into a TV show. I don't think it's necessary.
No. Movie?
Ooh, I mean, kinda.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this did or did not add to anything, but I wouldn't really know because I haven't heard a synopsis yet.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, right. Time for
fair enough.
A shit accent. What are we going for?
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, I could challenge him and go, you could do Anzellan. or wait, Hutt.
Duh. Jesus.
I mean, okay. A Hutt speaking English, you don't have to do it in Huttese.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll...
You also get, I feel like, Quinny, I feel like your internet has dropped off to the wrong one again. Because you're getting very, very confused.
No, it's still on the one that should be working particularly well, but it's fucking not.
I love that because it was a well. you got to pedal faster, man.
It's making me very angry. Can't tell you how angry it is.
Have you tried paying your bill?
Yes.
Yes.
Just like, fuck's sake, let my internet work. Let my internet be free.
Let my internet
pay them more. I think you should pay them more.
Yep. Okay, I'll try. I'm sorry.
You got to pay for the special.
While we have a moment where it appears to be going almost at the right speed, do I have music? Is there a thing?
Yeah, you do. Have you chosen an accent yet?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hutt. Well, not Hutt, he's just Hutt.
Oh, okay, one hut. A hut only. All right.
Okay.
Off you go. You got some, there's some music for you. You're in there. You can listen.
The evil empire has fallen, and imperial warlords remain wonky throughout the galaxy. As the fledgling New Republic works to protect everything. The rebellion fought for. They have enlisted the help of legendary wonky wonky Mandalorian bounty hunter
Din Djarin. I couldn't try and hunt that. Also, Pedro Pascal. I don't want to disrespect Pedro, okay? I'm sorry.
And his young apprentice, Grogu.
There you go.
Sounds like... Break it to you, Quinny. I just don't think you have that bottom registered for Hutt.
No, I don't. I used to when I was younger, but also I don't have a cool little slider that I could pull down and just be 100% bass.
I just love that. That sort of diverted into like marginally pre-death Yoda.
Well, another.
You will be.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Empire's fallen. Imperial warlords are everywhere around the galaxy, and they hire Din Djarin and Grogu, who they got back together at the end of the last season.
Yep. And I hate to say, absolutely. Well, okay, that synopsis covers, I don't know, the first 20 minutes of the film, and then it goes off on a different tangent.
So, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I could do you a separate synopsis for each episode.
You know what? It probably would make more sense that way. But this one was not an episodic. This was a whole movie that they sold to us in this thing of like, watch the Mandalorian hunt down Imperials across the galaxy to help out the New Republic. It's not that. It's not that film.
Maybe a 2.5 hour single episode or double episode. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, I think that there are some like pretty clear story arcs that start and stop that I looked at and went, I could just whack in a fucking title card and that's the end of an episode.
Yep.
It's like the first bit is them, you know, hunting down the Imperial guy in the snow.
Yep.
Like there's your first episode and then dropping him off and getting the job to earn his new ship back. End of first episode.
Yeah.
Like that. Second episode, going and looking, meeting the Hutts, and then going to the planet and saving, like, probably meeting Rotta and maybe not going all the way through to the big battle.
Yeah.
Then you've got, oh, fuck, I can't even remember half the other shit was that happened.
We know this. We don't need to give it a breakdown of play-by-play of the whole movie to go through. But it is very definitely you're watching something that feels to me like it was already broken up and it has been sort of glued together. and gone, yeah, no, it's a movie. And everyone's like, really? Because it seems to be jumping around quite a lot for a movie narrative.
It also completely fails to have a traditional, like, three-act structure in any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
I was trying to, somebody said to me, oh, like, you know, oh, but it's a movie. I'm like, only because it's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. In no other way is there anything about this that makes me go, oh, yeah, that's a traditional movie structure.
Yeah, beginning, middle, end, no. This is one of the things, too, that I was going on. I like watching it going, what is the hero's journey in this? There isn't really one. And if you were to follow it, you could potentially maybe say, oh, Grogu's having a hero's journey. But he doesn't, because he doesn't get better by the end.
He doesn't have a critical flaw at the start.
No. I mean, the critical flaw is, you know, he can't talk.
Oh, you actually know what his hero's journey is? At the start, he wants to push all the buttons, and at the end, he's allowed to push the button.
And then he knows which one it is.
And I mean, look, I mean, I've got a lot of things to complain about this film, but I will complain about this thing. I don't blame Dave Filoni for this. I actually blame Favreau. All of my problems I have with this, I'm going to blame Favreau for it. Because Filoni was also doing Maul Shadow Lord for this. Mm. And let's be honest, that is a great show. Excellent dialogue, nice character, like just things, you know, things happen. It was narratively quite good. It was interesting. That's great. This is not. I kind of blame Favreau on this one. And I go, yeah, you've got a bunch of toys in your sandbox and you're just kind of throwing them in there because they're cool and you don't really give a shit why. But guess what? The rest of us have just come off 2 seasons of fucking spectacular Star Wars television, which is Andor, and we want that meaty discourse. You know,
yeah.
We didn't need a lightsaber. Don't have to get one. That's fine. You know, Mandalorian Grogu, no lightsabers around. Fantastic. But we needed some more of that, something to pin our hats on, to give a reason to go through. And I kind of do blame Filoni on that. And he's been quite, oh, sorry, not Filoni, Favreau on that. And he's been quite effusive about talking about, like, there's a lot of me in this story. Like, this is about fatherhood. This is, you know, of having my kids grow up and letting them go off and then come back and having them find their voice. And I'm like,
but Fav knows how to write a movie. So where did he go wrong with this one?
Because I don't think it was a movie. It was still a TV show, but also we don't need, like, I didn't need to worry about that because all of those bits about fatherhood and childhood and growing up and all that sort of stuff were the boringest bullshit parts that led to the most intensely cringe dialogue that's through that.
And they've really been covering that throughout the whole of this series anyway. The thing is, putting it on a cinema screen, there was nothing cinematic about it. It was honestly just like watching a series on a big screen.
Yeah.
My problem with it was the trailers looked fantastic. They cut great trailers. They looked exciting. Mm. It looked like, oh, you know, this is going to be action-packed. We're going to get to see this stuff play out on a big screen, amazing action sequences, that kind of stuff. But my God, it was so dull. And not to say that I don't love the content and the characters and everything like that, because I do, and I've enjoyed the series so much. But I'm going to the movies, I'm paying a movie price to watch this, and there was nothing that was like blowing my hair back.
Yeah.
My tits are intact.
The tits are still on.
Yeah.
Tits are still on. They haven't been thermal detonated off at any point in time.
And like the thing is, they really did try to be cinematic. There was an opening sequence that was reminiscent of Top Gun. You know, you got your sunset with the undulating heat and the planes, the ships, you know, coming in and that kind of stuff and the hangars and all of that. I'm like, oh my God, it's like Top Gun. Then you got another sequence where it's like, wow, this is like Blade Runner. It's so futuristic and like cyberpunk, and
I love that
music was like coming through. So, you know, they were having really good stabs at it, but then you kind of get into the back half of it where it all just mellows out and it's like you're watching the TV series
There are also big problems with having a TV, like a movie / TV show, whatever, where you've got nobody to hang your hat on. Like, you never see your lead's face apart from the one day that Pedro showed up on set. You've got a character in Grogu who has no distinct characteristics. Like, what is Grogu? What does he believe in? What does he think? What does he do? He eats. He eats and occasionally, you know, looks after his dad.
Looks cute.
That's it. Yeah. The one character who did have some, like, actual presence and stuff like that, you've got Sigourney Weaver and Zeb, who they just kind of were like, yep, he's here.
Yep.
Who is he? Doesn't matter. He's here. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, your two main characters are really reliant on all of the other people in the scenes with them to try to make them shine.
Mm. Who are your bad guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't really a big overarching bad guy. It was just a lot of stuff happening.
The huts, I guess.
There's Coin. I remember that as a bad guy. Yeah, but
it wasn't like there was like someone pulling the strings in the background. And no. It's like, oh, is this a red herring? They're going to pull the rug out from under us over here. And...
Well, this was this really strange thing. They advertised, they put this movie out there. They did the trailers and everything. And I was like, oh, it's, you know, Mando taking down Imperials for the New Republic, kind of a adventure film. Fantastic.
Mm.
But as we said, that is not the movie. That's the first 20 minutes of the movie. And let me be completely honest. If I was on that planet and I had that, like, those Imperials turning up going, "Well, you're under our control now. We're real tough." And then they just fucking run as soon as someone comes near them. I'm like, why would I be paying these guys money? Like, they just made them out to be absolutely useless. Like, there's no sense of drama about why the Imperials are a bad guy. All right. And then they're immediately cast aside. And then they just go straight to, oh, no, it's underworld figures.
See, like, here's where, sorry, Quinny, just to interrupt, but, like, here's where you, like, can play it off against what we saw in Andor, where you've got, like, this group conspiring. Like, you got Ben Mendelsohn, like, absolutely overarching bad guy. He's pulling all the strings. You're seeing all of these puzzle pieces come together over the course of a season. You could have had something very similar to this because we had, like, these little factions that are, like, having their little mothers' meetings about, like, bringing back the Empire. And then nothing really came of it.
Yeah.
No.
The story just completely veered off into...
Yeah.
Trying to escape the huts and
like there is a fascinating story to be explored there, which I think they're trying to do slowly through Ahsoka and everything, like, of going, okay, how does, like, the question is, how does the First Order happen? Like, you've got leftover remnants of the original Empire. They're still scattered around, and so they're trying to hunt down the Nazis in Argentina. You know, that's what this story probably should have been. But
honestly, it would have had more stakes for the continuing of, like, the storytelling that you want to do in the future. Like,
and then we find out that something is still controlling them, that there is some centralized power that's saying, hey, we're all working towards something, and that thing is,
you know, the First Order. And then how do you tie that back to the sequels?
Exactly. But here it's just like, okay, there's some leftover Imperial remnants, and we've dealt with that storyline. And now the huts. The huts are probably your big bad guys, kind of. Not really. Anyway, here's a bounty hunter from the cartoons that we're never going to say the name of once, who doesn't speak. And is a bit cool, and he's got a dog. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, for anyone who's playing along or watching the film and wonder, what's that character's name called? His name is Embo, E-M-B-O. You can look him up.
There's cool.
There's even a, like, you know, it was from the Clone Wars cartoon. You know, you can even get a Lego minifig of him. Fantastic. But no one has seen him for about 10 years because he hasn't been in any properties and he's just been sort of wheeled out here. This is why I agree. This is a bunch of television episodes stitched together to make a movie for whatever. This is the thing. It's not a creative reason. I feel like this is an economic reason movie. This movie... doesn't exist.
Favreau has talked about that. Like, that they basically just said, hey, we know that you're building up stuff with Ahsoka and everything, but we really think this character needs to be in cinemas. So what have you got? And he looked at the next season and went, well, that's a TV season. It's not going to be a movie, but I've got something that we can kind of turn into a movie. And I'm like, so what was it? All of the other episodes that weren't big plot building episodes that yeah. you've just kind of strung together into a film. Like, yeah, and yes, Filoni did play a rebel with a cowboy hat.
Yeah, but he's played that rebel with a cowboy hat in the season as well.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that could have just been old footage. I mean, look, if you're worried about fucking strange cameos in this film, I mean, having Martin Scorsese in there, come on, man. Why do you
cast Jeremy Allen White and distort his voice?
Yeah.
And then not direct him, apparently.
No, I saw a comment about that, which was like, yeah, it's like he did all of his lines via voicemail. Like people sent him emails going, here's your script. And he just kind of left voice notes. And they're like, yeah, we'll use that. Fantastic. Thanks, Jeremy. Great. I'll pick up my check over here. No problem.
Yeah. You know,
and that's how it felt. It was so dull.
Look, I mean, I know it sounds like we're really hacking on this. Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of people quite enjoy it, you know. Our group that watched it, you know, a bunch of them were like having a pretty good time. You know, they were laughing.
I'm hanging shit on it now, but that's because I like it and I like the property and I want it to be better.
Yeah. I mean, look, we can hang more shit on this after the break and we come back when there's spoilers around, but I would like to discuss some of the things that I liked about the film.
Yes, okay. Let's do that. Let's be the typical Star Wars fan and be negative.
Just shit on things. Yes.
Let's just say some nice things.
No matter who's in charge of Star Wars, it's shit. You ruined it ever since the perfect.
Kathleen Kennedy should be fired.
The prequels were perfect in the benefit of hindsight.
hey, where'd you get my email from?
Some of the fun things about this, there are some really beautiful scenes, like you're saying, at the start where the X-Wings are flying over the sun and everything, and, like, there's a great, the Razor Crest flying out on its test run and being chased by pirate fighters and stuff and destroying those. That's fun. That's kind of good stuff. I did mention to Q that it felt a little bit like some of those scenes might have been from that ill-fated Rogue Squadron movie. And they might have shot some, because if you go back and look at the announcement for that, a lot of that would kind of look like a lot of heat haze, a lot of sun, a lot of X-Wings flying through the sky. And I was like, maybe they had those shots already and they just kind of wheeled them out again.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It was really fun to see. I thought Grogu would start to grate on me and get a bit like annoying. And I don't feel like he's quite there yet, or he's getting quite close. Because they just don't give him anything to do other than just like, I'm hungry and I will do stuff, you know. Some of the creature, like this is really a creature feature. So seeing a lot of creatures on screen is really fun and interesting. And some of them are like, oh, that's a deep cut. And other ones you're just like, I wonder why that's even there. But it's fun. You know, we get to see a bit more of the galaxy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see a swamp planet that's not Dagobah.
Yeah.
So we got to see an actual Dejarik match.
Yeah, well, you know, kind of.
Like,
can you just hit the gonk button, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry. But so, that was something I quite enjoyed, is that, like, they, you know, hell, we were 20 minutes in before we got to Underground Fight Club.
Yes! In the first act, man, Underground Fight Club.
So, Quinny,
we're in trouble.
Quinny, just
thank
for people,
God there was no sky beam.
Just for people who don't know, what's Dejarik?
So, on... fuck. On the Millennium Falcon in the original Star Wars from 1978... when they're sitting around, there's that round chess table that has the cool little hologram chess piece people that fight each other. That is a Dejarik table. And I quite like the idea that, oh, okay, those Dejarik tables are just literally a video game version of what they do in actual fucking...
Fight clubs.
Fight club, yeah. And what's more, the monsters were all the ones from the little thing. And I was like, that's quite cool. And I liked that the ground floor, the floor of the match was the chessboard, the whole works. I'm like, okay, that's cute. I like that.
Interestingly, one of the things I hadn't quite passed while I was watching, the first time it came to my mind in my entire history of liking Star Wars, was trying to figure out that some of those Djarik monsters that were coming out had clothing and tools and perhaps had, you know, free will and thought, and some of the other were just like animals. And it made me just kind of go, oh, this is different to like the arena from Attack of the Clones, where it's just monsters trying to kill people, so it's all fine. What if these are just indentured servants? And
yes,
and they have this is awful.
This is just dogfighting.
Yeah, yeah. This, but I mean dogfighting with people, like, you know, couldn't you have just kind of said, hey, you don't have to fight me, let's break out of here.
It's Underground Fight Club with dogs.
But they're not dogs. Yeah. They're dogs that can speak.
No. I mean, like, Underground Fight Club is people.
Mm.
Right.
And there's also dogs.
And they're adding. So it's kind of like a cockfight, a dogfight, and an underground fight club. Yeah. Where some of the dogs have free will and wear clothes and have weapons. That's just threw me out.
You're putting those words in my mouth. Sure. I'm not calling them dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like Star Gladiator, like, you know, Star Wars Gladiators? Yeah, yeah.
No, I just have to shout out. Well done, Predaconga. Yes, that's number Wang. That's a very it's a very good joke. I appreciate you for saying that. If you ever you can go look that
like
up.
That sequence was great. I thought the whole I loved the sequence on Blade Runner Planet.
Yep.
Oh yeah, so one that
I thought that
with
looked
S.
fucking great.
Yep. Look, it was fine.
Hmm.
Like, you know, it had some interesting bits and pieces. A lot of the logic of the entire film was based on a bunch of bullshit, and I think that's the thing that.
Wait, I thought we were saying nice things.
Yeah, I was going to say stick with the nice things. Sorry. A long fucking list of things that I can complain about, dude.
It's a lot of nods. I really like seeing the Imani, so that's good. And you wonder what that is? Gonk, there we go. I pre-gonked. The Imani were based on a character that was in the background of the Jabba's palace, which was a guy who looked like a big cobra snake-headed dude called Imaniman. That was his name. But now they've made it into a race of the same kind of things. And they're the evil kind of swimming creatures.
They're quite terrifying, actually. Like, yeah. They're good villains.
Yeah, but to have them as like kind of faceless, don't have any brains, and just do what the Hutt's saying, like kind of like dogs, Jill. You know. Anyway, like they it's cool to see those. It was nice to see them try and incorporate stuff from like, you know, robots, like the old Clone Wars era battle droids being repurposed as like a little army. It was nice to see some more Hutt. I like that kind of underground stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so happy he got his Razor Crest back.
Yeah.
Because I have a very expensive toy of that and I was so pissed when they just got rid of it. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
You going to give yours a paint job now?
No.
Do you want to put some yellow racing stripes on it?
No, I don't need yellow racing stripes on it. I'm so pissed. I'm also quite pissed off with the Mandalorian in that because he gets this brand new ship, which is a vintage stock, perfectly wonderful like ship, and the first thing he starts doing is pulling shit out of it and customizing. I'm like, you motherfucker. You're not allowed to have a heritage car and do that shit to it. You know?
Just turning it into a hot rod.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just like stripping it out and making it a real fucking speed machine.
Yeah.
Maybe
there's no such thing as like heritage foundation in the Star Wars galaxy. No one's there to protect stuff. They're like, ah, that's 3,000 years old. Whatever, fuck it. Pull it down, mate.
Just put a bar in it.
I thought some of the comedic moments were good and unintentional.
Which ones, pray tell?
Big pipe. I feel like that was unintentional.
I don't know.
Yeah, the little guys, they had some funny lines.
The Anzellans. Anzellians, sorry. I love interesting thing that I didn't know. The Anzellians are all played by one person. And do you know who that one person is?
Who?
It's Moaning Myrtle from the fucking Harry Potter. Yeah, Shirley Henderson.
Oh my god. Yeah. Also, it's not Anzellians, it's Anzellans. Anzellans. There's no Anzellian.
Sorry, I'm looking at the IMDb and it is spelt wrong. My
yeah,
bad.
Fucking Jesus. Come on. If you're going to do that, you're going to be accurate.
Yeah.
I like some of the comedic moments with Grogu. I really liked his fuck it, Barry, kick a few leaves over it. She'll be right. at one point, which I was like, that's cool. Look, it had some really nice shots in the way that it was framed, because I feel like it came off what I hope was the storyboards, like, you know, the rainy night that Mando is being abducted by Embo felt really kind of that lone wolf and cub last stand sort of stuff. Like, there were a lot of good bits in it, and it still felt really fun. And, you know, I had some problems with the soundtrack, but the music was still good. It had lots of the right ideas, but it didn't work cohesively as a narrative.
But, I mean, all of those things that you pointed out would be, like, the peak part of an episode. It still is playing with, like, those shorter 30 to 40-minute beats.
Yeah, here's your cool bit of this episode.
Yeah.
And I said to somebody, I was like, you know, it's like it's another season of the show, but we don't get the excitement of having different directors for each episode. Yeah. And we don't get that one shit hot episode directed by Bryce Dallas Howard that, you know, suddenly hits on a whole bunch of fucking cool shit that we weren't expecting. Yeah. Like,
but on the other hand, we also don't get those a couple of episodes of like, what the fuck was going on there?
True. Yeah.
Instead, we kind of get like a whole movie of like, well, nothing actually changed. Like we don't have any big change to the universe. We don't have any big change to characters.
There was no revelatory moment. There was nothing that kind of said, and then they go off into the sunset. It was all just very blasé and kind of like, we'll see you next season.
Yeah. The closest thing you get to a revelation or whatever is that, yep, okay, Rot of the Hutt, good bloke, okay. That's it.
I mean, pretty brave to chuck that character in there. Who's the last time we saw him was in the
Stinky.
Was in the
Gonker.
Which we last saw in the first season of the Clone Wars. I think maybe
he
came,
first movie.
No, he was in the first movie. That was the main reason there. But then I think he came back a couple, like maybe once. I could be wrong. But, like, yeah, Rotter the Hutt, the son of Jabba the Hutt, who we last saw as a tiny little squish worm.
Stinky.
Stinky.
And also, I mean, what a missed opportunity there to have Ahsoka show up and go, Stinky.
Yeah. Exactly. You know. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know. And or they had one of those reverse Anakin Padme kind of things where it'd just be like, wow, Stinky, you've grown. Yeah. It's just like, oh no.
I want more payoffs for callbacks.
But yeah, like it was just, and also, you know, this had a lot of tell not show. There was a lot of tell not show in this where it's like, you know, even right at the start, it was like, he's on top of us. It's like, where is he? It's like, oh, fuck, stop telling. We know he's up there. You know, he's being chased by, like, oh, where is he now? He's underneath us. Oh, no. Like, it's like, stop telling us. We see it's happening on the fucking screen, dude.
See, it's designed for me sitting at home on the couch on my phone.
Second screening.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
But also, they did the same thing with Rota, who just constantly goes, but I'm not my father. I'm my own heart. And then they just keep saying that. And that's his entire character from the start to the finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end of it, you get the feeling maybe he's going to try and do something better with his life, but who the fuck knows?
Who would care? I don't care. I mean, it did answer some of the questions that have been, you know, keeping me up at night as a Star Wars fan. Oh, like
do slugs have abs?
Yeah, do slugs have abs? Also, if I were a Hutt, how would I fight? Would you still love me
you
if
do
I...
the worm?
Yeah. You just rear up and slam people.
Or the other one, which is just roll to the left or roll to the right.
Yeah. It's like...
Jesus.
Yeah. I something that I did think was cool. I liked that Zeb got a pretty cool fight sequence. Like,
yeah,
you know, there are a couple of moments where I was like, yeah, that's cool. That's great.
But still not as good as the Nightcrawler in the hallway of the White
House. No, they were definitely channeling a bit of Nightcrawler for that, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a bit of a callback to the first time we met Zeb in the Rebels cartoon, where he kind of does the same thing of jumping around and, you know, hitting stormtroopers.
Mm. Actually, something else that I thought was really cool. This is you know, low hanging fruit, but the credits. It was really fucking cool that the two body performers and stunt performers for The Mandalorian were credited directly under Pedro.
Yeah.
Like,
and before
that's Sigourney, fucking cool.
Yeah. And Pedro's been quite vocal about saying, you know, he's only a third of the performance because these other two have been there as well. Like, there's the fight, the mocap kind of one and the fight one.
Mm.
The stunty, those sort of two different things to make the whole character. So that's great. That's some cool shit.
And I mean, as far as we're aware, they're probably the main body on set 99% of the time.
Especially in this one, because yeah, Pedro is 33 seconds of screen time. May set a whole new standard. But hey, he must be loving it, because as a 50-year-old bougie bitch, he's not really. It's like, oh no, I did this from my home recording studio.
Mm.
ADR'd the fuck out of it. Do we meet any characters that we really liked in this? Like any new ones?
I like the Swamp Lizard.
The old guy?
Yeah, old guy Swamp Lizard.
Swampy. He was fine. Yeah. But again, don't know his name or any of the backstory or where he came from. He just looked like a somewhat swampier
Yoda.
Deadly from the Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, don't be a cunt.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine, Quinny. Don't be a cunt then. he's gone. He's off again. Jill, did you have anyone as a standout that you loved?
No. I mean, I'm a ride or die for Grogu. I loved his little antics.
Yep.
We got to see his little armory montage getting suited up.
That had
and like we kind of see that he is quite capable without Mando around. Like, he's resourceful.
I think he's just
it had a bit of The Last of Us, that bit.
yeah. I think he's putting it on. It reminded me a lot of fucking Gremlins 2, where Gizmo gets dressed up in Rambo stuff.
Yeah, I mean, him and the and Zalan's doing Die Hard in the sewers underneath Mel Hutter was great.
that was fun.
Yeah, there's a part of me that would like. I would have loved to have seen a little moment that was a bit like Yoda in Episode 2, like, you know, where suddenly we realized that, you know, Grogu was actually way more competent than we'd been expecting. And
I think he's putting it on.
Yeah.
When he's hanging out with Dad, he's like pillow princess.
Yeah.
I'm just the baby.
I'm the baby.
I mean, look,
feed me.
As we haven't got really established now, he's about 100. Because he was 90 in the first episode and basically
I thought he was 50.
No. Was it 50? Oh, yeah. Fuck. Maybe I'm older. I don't know.
Gonk.
deserves one. I love to be corrected. Quinny, you haven't had your chance to say which character you like that most.
I did. I said the old swamp lizard.
Oh, the old
I
swamp, liked swamp lizard. Guy. Yep.
Yeah. Like, I think that was to me the character that I was like, oh, okay. Well, we've got some dialogue here. We've got something, you know, to actually hang our hat on. I mean, I liked Sigourney Weaver's character, but
she didn't do much.
For as much as we saw her, there was like no character development for her. She was just there.
Yeah. Yep. I was so on board to love Zeb, and then he just wasn't given enough fucking anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh, okay.
No. And also, like, he just seemed to be the person to be around to tell Mando that he was a bit shit.
Yeah.
And to play support. And it felt like K2SO a little bit. And I felt like they kind of pulled that out and put it in there going, oh, we could put Zeb in here as like a K2SO character.
And yeah, it's like, kind of weird because like you have all these duos in Star Wars and like Mando already has Grogu and Grogu already has Mando. So you chuck Zeb in there, you've got like another like two qualified person in the mix and now it's become like a team thing. But then also you don't have him play as part of the team. He's just there in case you need a co-pilot. Like,
who can actually fly a ship.
Yeah, it kind of almost felt like, oh, we don't really trust Mando fully, so we have to give him a babysitter. You haven't quite passed the test to become one of us yet. I don't know, it was quite strange.
Look, the New Republic seems to have a very ropey promotion and reason structure that's in there. Where some of the old...
I mean, you've got all your rebel pilots, but then, like, you chuck a bounty hunter into the mix. I don't know.
Who seems to be either a complete one-man army or absolutely useless when faced with gas.
Oh, go on.
Or a taser. No, no, I'm gonna save that one from my bitching in the bit.
Yeah, how about we move over to spoilers? Yeah. Let's do some ratings. Look, we've been
let's do a rating.
It's been 45 minutes already of us nattering on about it. Look, I'm going to start us off for the rating, and if you've got your rating, chuck it in the chat or you know what you want to say. I'm only going to give this a 70.
That's higher than I was expecting.
Yeah, me too.
It could be lower because it's annoying me. See, also, I didn't have a bad time. Uh-huh. I just got frustrated by my good time. Does that make sense?
No.
Fuck.
Please explain.
I got frustrated because it had, I feel like it was all the right ingredients of the cake. It just has been made with a microwave.
Oh.
Does that make sense? Okay. It's just like all of these delicious ingredients are here for this cake that I'm making. Yeah. And yet you've made it with a microwave and then you've tried to, you know, like decorate it with welding gloves on.
Sure.
You know?
Sorry, Dion, that was 70?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. A few people have seen it in the chat and have been dropping their numbers in
there. Yeah, it's a couple of 75s. I'm going to give it a 75 too, I think. Because I did like it. But yeah, like that's just laugh. Because I like the people that are in it. I think there was really so much more that we could have had from it, and it really could have been better, I think. If I'm going to go to the movies to watch Star Wars, I want it to blow my tits off.
Yeah. You want a tit to be blown, and I feel like it's trading very heavily on that Mandalorian and Grogu's like, you already know these characters, right? You'll come along.
Exactly. They're really resting on the assumption of, oh, everyone that loves the show is just going to come and see it regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, technically, the people that love the show are getting exactly what they've gotten before, which is just more of the show. So, I don't know, maybe people are going to be happy with that. Personally, I'm not. Yeah. For me, yeah, I think I've got to sit roughly about the same. Like, I'm going to split the difference between both of you and go 72.
Just like, so it makes your math easier.
No, it doesn't really. I just found myself going, okay, this is fun, I guess. But I just never got excited. At no point in time in the whole fucking film did I get enthused and excited about like a battle sequence or something cool that people did. Like Mando's doing all this cool shooting stuff with fire fucking flamethrowers and all that sort of stuff. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I think the problem with those sequences was that there just wasn't enough build up or tension in the moment to have like the action pay off. And it really only lasted like a couple of seconds and then it just went back to like the slower pace again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I have a few things to say. Anyway, should we go to a little clip and watch some of the fucking hilarious and wonderful stuff? stuff that you get from Mandalorian and Grogu. And then we'll come back with spoilers and a chance to unload.
One of the sequences I do remember.
Grogu, I need you to go to the control panel. Remember the buttons I told you never to touch?
I'm going to need you to touch them. Look for the ignition relay cutoff. It's next to the fuel differential readout, which is between the pump compression gauge and the primary reserve
No! Don't touch the missile battery switch.
That's why there's a safety guard on it. Do you see the fuel readout display?
Remember I showed you that one?
It's on the other side of the manual control surface calibration.
I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yes, there you go. When you know, don't give him a button to press because he will shoot at you.
Like, yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Naughty, even, yeah, I mean, if the buttons aren't labeled, I ain't finding it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Oh, wait, sorry, I haven't put the spoiler thing up. I'm going to put the spoiler thing up because it's official now and I'm going to make it a little bit bigger. All right, okay, there we go. Warning spoilers. Okay, can I bitch yet?
Sure.
Man, I got a list of this shit.
Yeah, okay.
Some hey, people in the chat, if you haven't watched this movie yet and you don't want spoilers, best dip out now.
I don't really even know if it's a spoiler because you can't spoil a film that doesn't have a fucking story.
Spoiler alert.
Like, it has a bunch of ideas that end up making it go from A to B, but it doesn't have any brain to explain why that is happening. Mm-hmm. It doesn't treat you as an audience that can that you need to follow that along. It just goes, here's a bunch of things. Here's a cool idea from this. Here's a deep cut for someone, right? And then to get between those bits and pieces is useless. And it's super fucking annoying to watch because you're sitting there going, that's a cool, great reference, or I know that. Oh, that's from some, you know, that was kind of hinted at, or that's from a Ralph McQuarrie previous painting. That's great. I'm seeing
that's
it on
a toy. Yeah. That's one of the first toys that ever came out.
And you I'm seeing it on screen for the first time, but no reason why.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that was the biggest frustration with the movie. And also for the fact that it just fucking plays around with its idea of where do things go? There's no continuity. I think Quinny.
Oh
said,
man, the continuity's fucked.
Oh, the continuity.
Yeah, I don't know how none of these characters have swamp crotch for the amount of times that they were in water and then the next scene they were dry.
Yeah,
was the worst one that you were on about, Dylan, for a while there? Like the magical reappearing weaponry.
Oh, the magical. yeah, quite well established that Mando was a prisoner, was dumped into a pit. Survived the pit, and when he woke up and he went onto a ship where you're like, oh, finally, that will make an understanding because he's found, and this is where the logic's going, the logic is correct. He's found a gunrunner ship, so he's going to be able to go back on there and get all these guns back. It's part of his religion, right? And then as soon as he gets on that ship, he pulls a mysterious pistol out of nowhere, which is his pistol that he always had apparently, but he never used in the dangerous times that were there, or a sword out of nowhere that he picked up in the underground fight club.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck, man?
When it was explicitly stated that they'd taken all these weapons away from him. And that's one of
like
those things.
Yeah, like he reached for his gun and it wasn't there.
Yeah, and then suddenly, four scenes later, it's back for no reason.
And I mean, look, what was the other thing that really shat me too was how can you gas Mando? Because he's got the helmet on, and that's the whole sealed system, and that's the reason that they wear
it's
these.
Not because you can shove the food and the water up there.
Yeah,
but not. But
but you can shove the food and the water up there.
Yes, but you can also survive.
So the gas can go up there.
I don't agree with that, Jill.
It's not a space helmet.
It is a space helmet.
Well, shut up. It is a space helmet, but it's not an astronaut's helmet. There's no hermetically sealed thing to his body. It's just sitting on his fucking head.
It should be.
He picked it up in that snake pit and shoved it back on. Like, there's nothing sealing up. It's not magic.
It should be. Also, how did he go from, like, you remember that bit in the second season where he's doing that assault with the other Mandalorians, and he just runs at the stormtroopers in the corridor, and he absorbs all the blasts before he throws something out, because he's got the Beskar. He's got the proper Beskar on, so he can absorb all of the blaster fire. And yet in this one, when he's assaulting the AT-ATs, he's just a fucking dynamo. He doesn't have to do any of that. He's just like, oh, no, I know where everyone is. I'm a one-man army, blah, 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 blah. It's like, how did you get magically better in your things?
In the chat, Ziltoid is saying, did we mention the bit with Grogu picking up a gnarled stick just specifically so he could look like Yoda?
Yeah, yes. But his name isn't Yoda. His name is Grogu.
Yes.
And that's
funny. I did have that moment where I'm like, okay, like we're nodding to Yoda here very clearly, and it's on a swamp planet and everything.
Yeah.
But I was like, so is this just a thing of that species that they're comfortable on swamp planets with little sticks? Or
yes.
Oh yeah. Atsuki pointed out another amazing flaw in the logic of being bitten by what they call a dragon snake, just revolutionary naming there.
Mm.
That is toxic. And then you can be like laying dead for 3 fucking days, but you get a little bit of poultice on your tongue and you're back to full health.
Mm.
Oh, but yeah. One good night's sleep and then you're back to full health.
But he also got force healed by Grogu.
D&D theory.
He got force. Yeah, look.
Yeah, but he didn't suck the poison out.
No, there's a lot wrong with.
That would have been real weird.
There's a lot wrong with this.
Where Grogu did the snake bite you?
Right where the scorpion bit him under the chin.
Yeah.
Or was trying to bite him. And what happened to those bugs? Did they just mysteriously decide to stop?
Like that after was weird, too. Yeah. It was like, wait, are the bugs coming to heal him? What's happening?
Yeah.
No, it was just like just you lay down for 2 seconds and then they're all over you.
Yeah. And then one is going to try and sting you. But then
even though it hasn't been provoked whatsoever.
Yeah,
it will still sting you anyway.
And this is the problems that I had with it. You're presenting something on a big screen. Some of the things look great. Like I really like Nal Hutta, the cannons and the ships the ships that were flying, accurate to things that have been established before. I liked watching those bits and pieces, but to tie it together with not even a good narrative was its most criminal offense. And it is a bunch of TV episodes. Hot welded together with just shit reasoning and then presented to us like, look, you'll love it. It's a wonderful story. And it's like, it's not.
I want to shout out for Phil Tippett, the worst guy in Jurassic Park, but probably the best guy in this one. He does some really fucking cool work with stop motion. Like there are a couple of big stop motion robots that are done traditionally.
Yeah.
Like they're not CGI, they're proper stop motion. They look pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I love seeing that. No smoothing whatsoever. They kept them janky.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And
I like that there's so much real life puppetry throughout it. I'm down for that.
Except they also kept that in janky ones with other things like that tiny Anzellan starship, which looked jankier than fuck. And was such a weird thing because you're like, oh, that's fun. They've used stop motion for this little ship and it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Oh, well. And then they come out with, the two guard robots you're saying, Quinny, which look great. You know, that's a kind of Harryhausen kind of thing that makes sense.
Things that, like, there are speeder bikes or speeder things, speeder land speeders from, that look like they're straight out of the Book of Boba Fett. Like that.
Leftovers.
Yeah. And you're like, all right, cool. Okay. The one that fucking weirded me out and pissed me off. And it shouldn't matter as much as it does, but it's something that really annoyed me. The Anzellans rock up on a little sled, a little skiff type thing, and the fucking sound was from the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Like, it was... Like, it was literally a fucking Jetsons sound, and I was like, no, come on. Not cool.
Look,
yes, it's a minor thing, but
I think at the moment there's like the box office has been fair to middling, but the reviews have been wildly different. I think across it, I think a lot of people want to love this, and that is coloring their opinions. I'm looking at it going, I've been around and I've watched too much Star Wars nowadays, so you can't hurt me. I've been the good, the bad, and the terrible. So now I'm looking at going, this is fine, just disappointing.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm waiting to hang my hat on something else. And I kind of feel like you just needed a tentpole. You needed something big to release. Disney had to come out and say, we're doing something big with Star Wars, while they are scrambling to figure out what to do with places like Galaxy's Edge. How do we rectify some missteps with the sequel trilogy because it hasn't been being received well? You know, all of those kinds of things have just eventually come up with a corporate decision to release this as a movie. And when you get things like Andor, it shows up the quality of this kind of work, which is, it's got nothing to do with the visuals. It's got nothing to do with the characters. It's got to do with dialogue and their writing, you know.
Yeah, I went in with high expectations. So unfortunately, I was a bit disappointed. I still liked it because I like the characters, but I mean, you can't hang your hat on that, can you?
No. But I still like the characters. Do I still like the Mandalorian? Yes, but he's running out of tricks on his one trick pony. Do I still love Grogu? I'm forever going to call him Baby Yoda. But unless he has some development, he's going to fall into that category of, another one for the kid.
It's funny how they didn't have like a big moment for him to utter a word or
anything like
that.
That could have been.
There was nothing that really was exciting or new for him.
No post-credit scene saying Grogu will return in Avengers Doomsday.
I did think, when you're talking about development of the Mandalorian as a character, I'm like, even if there was some indication that he was being, this could have been a story about him getting more invested in the idea of, keeping the galaxy safe by, fighting for the rebellion, even though they're not the rebellion anymore, or finding something that he goes, okay, I need to hunt that down because it's dangerous. There is a bigger threat that is a threat to me and the other Mandalorians or whatever, and giving him something other than I just need money and a new ship.
Yeah.
Could he not? Could you not have just had a quick scene in there where he returns to Mandalore and you find out the reason he's doing all these contracts and making all this money is because he's funding a whole bunch of rebuilding efforts? That could make sense.
That would be cool.
And that would give some character development to that character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But he has no emotional stakes in this. The only emotional stakes he has is I want to keep the kid safe.
And even then he does a pretty shit job at it. He does a fucked job at keeping that kid safe.
Yeah, the kid had to come and save him. Yeah.
Also, I need to figure out about the occupational health and safety and the product manufacturing guidelines of this galaxy, because the baby stroller that Grogu jumps into and then flies away on can do at least 150 kilometers an hour, which made me go, and they give this to babies?
Yeah. Well, I guess most babies can't actually use the controls.
They give this to species who are small enough to look like babies but want to fly at 150 k's an hour?
Yeah, totally. One thing I will say that occurred to me as I was watching it, it's 2 and a bit hours long. It's maybe not 2.5, it's 2 hours and 20 or something like that.
It felt like 3 hours.
Yeah, I could cut solidly 20 minutes out of this film if you just cut most of the landing sequences, the going in through the fucking, the clouds, the coming through the city and you land. There was one where I literally counted a minute and a half of just flying in, looking at some shit, landing, doing a bit more landing, get out of the thing, walk to somewhere. And I was like, fuck me, running. Get on with the plot, Jesus.
What are you doing here? Nothing. You just got a series of vignettes.
Yeah. You've got cool locations. I don't need to see that much of them.
So it was slightly disappointed that we didn't have any opening titles, any credits, anything that made it feel cinematic. Sure, I don't want the traditional opening scroll because that's,
that's
held,
reserved for Star Wars.
Yeah, it's reserved for the Star Wars, which is why, Rogue One didn't have it. I don't think Solo had it.
Solo didn't have it.
Yeah, those things. And also, I don't know about their fucking naming conventions seem to be skipping around too. Like Solo, a Star Wars story, or Rogue One, a Star Wars story. And now we've got Star Wars, Mandalorian, and Grogu. It's like, well, could you say Mandalorian and Grogu, a Star Wars story? Maybe that was too many words.
It's
only one this extra word.
I mean, look, overall, I can say, I can comfortably say to people, do you need to see it in IMAX? No.
Oh, God, no.
Jesus, no.
Definitely not.
Do you have to see it in the cinema? Not really.
I mean, you can if you want.
Yeah, if you need to see it now, then sure, but.
Yeah,
it's not going to make much difference to watching it.
If you want to leave it to
screen at home,
if you want to leave it to streaming, fine. It's not going to thrill you. It might be good enough for, like, you know, if someone is, you know, between the ages of like 8 and 11, they'll watch it and they'll have a great time because it's like, oh yeah, they're doing things. It's like, yeah, they're doing things. They're not. There's no reason for it. They're just doing stuff.
They're not actually breaking new ground.
No.
Dion, this is something that Ziltoid said to me at one point, and you also said to me, pretty much straight afterwards. This is the definition of an and then movie.
Yes. Yep.
Now,
do you want to know where that comes from?
I do.
I have a clip. This is some of the best storytelling advice you can get from the creators of South Park, and this as a as a thing to keep in the back of your head is great for any filmmaker. All right. It's not too long.
Educational.
South Park writer's room, one whole wall is one of these. And we've got it split up and into three acts.
We have different colored markers just like here too. Look at it.
Yep.
We have that.
And I walk around with the markers like this and we'll go, okay, we do a show about this.
This is our writer's room.
Okay. Well, somewhere, okay, this would be a funny scene if we had this. True. Each individual scene has to work as a kind of funny sketch. You don't want one scene that's just like, well, what was the point of that scene? We've found out this really simple rule that maybe you guys have all heard before, but it took us a long time to learn it. But we can take these beats, which are basically the beats of your outline, and if the words "and then" belong between those beats, you're f***ed, basically. You got something pretty boring. What should happen between every beat that you've written down is either the word "therefore" or "but". Right? So what I'm saying is that you come up with an idea and it's like, okay, this happens, right? And then this happens. No. It should be this happens and therefore this happens. But this happens, therefore this happens. And that, as soon as we are able to, and literally sometimes we'll write it out to make sure we're doing it. We'll have our beats and we'll say, okay, this happened, but then this happens and that affects this and that does to that. And that's why you get a show that feels like, okay, this to that, to this to that, but this, here's the complication, to that. And there's so many scripts we read from new writers and things that we see.
God, I see movies.
You
see movies that you're just watching. It's like, this happened and then this happens and then this happens. That's when you're in a movie just going, what the f*** am I watching this movie for? And just like, this happened and then this happened and this happened. That's not a movie, you know, that's not a story. Like Trey said, it's those two, but because, therefore, that gives you the causation between each beat, and that makes that's a story.
See, there you go. Very quickly, 1 minute of explanation on how to not make a shit film.
And then.
The Mandalorian, he chased down an Imperial, and then he go collect bounty, and then he get a new ship, and then he go get another bounty, and then. See, that's how the film goes.
Yeah.
It's like a story being told to you by an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Mandalorian went into the thing and then this thing happened and then the next thing happens.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I mean,
there might have been one or two butts.
If you're going to have, this is the reason I go
I'm
back.
I'm trying to think of a good butt.
I've got a good butt.
Yeah, you
do. If you're gonna have
no argument,
if you're gonna have Favreau in there making a film about fatherhood and those kinds and legacy and bits and pieces that he wanted to make, then you need to understand that that is your audience. You're going for the adults dealing with adult things, but this isn't a film for adults. This is a film for kids. So all of those ideas that Favreau's in there going, oh, this is about, you know, Jabba and his son and Grogu and the man and the thing. It's like, but you've made a movie for people who don't understand or give a shit about that. because you've just put stuff on a screen to like do that. And all the people who are going in there and want to feel those emotions, they're getting nothing out of it.
Mm.
Apart from maybe if they took a kid and they look down and they're like, I'm fucking bored as shit, but oh, the kid's enjoying it. Oh, nice. Yes. Oh, good film. Yeah, yeah, great. No worries.
Big get an pipe.
Ice cream after. Yeah, big pipe. Ha, 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 ha. That being said, great movie. 10 out of 10. Go see it. No.
Yeah. It's Star Wars, so Dion loves it. There you go.
Yeah, you gave it a 7 out of 10, I'll remind you.
Wait, yeah. I did buy the toys, though.
Of course you bought the toys.
Yes.
You always buy the toys.
I always buy the toys. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Speaking of,
not that there's many toys that have come out about this, by the way. I'd just like to point this out, is that so far there has only been a new Mandalorian with a little backpack Grogu that sits on his shoulder. So that's a new one out of the movie. Sigourney Weaver's pilot character. And the first warlord that he has to chase down, which hasn't been released yet. And and some Imperial Remnant stormtroopers, but that's fine. That's just stormtroopers. There's not a lot out there. They haven't released
Surely you'd be like, oh, well, let's get some toys out there of Rotta. Let's get some toys out there of Embo or whatever his name was.
You'd be,
a slug with gigantic biceps and abs.
Yeah. I want a playset of all of the Djarik monsters. You know? That'd be sick.
Yeah.
I want a rod away, like you press a button on the back and he swings his arms like
with
the axe.
No, I want a button on the back that just says, I'm not my father.
Oh, man, he should be in the next season of The Bear. He's got family issues too.
I love it.
Yes. Look, yeah, but there's really not many... There's not much merchandising out from it.
Predakanka said there's a heap of merch at Daiso of all places. I'm going to get down to Daiso and get my Mando gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. I will. I mean, I'm also sort of thinking about like some of the other more screen accurate toys rather than just the merchandising shit. But there isn't a lot out there. You know?
Didn't you get like an Ancelian or something like that? And Delian order? And
Zelen.
And Zelen.
Thank you, Jill.
Donk, you fucker.
Yes, I did, but that's only because I needed to make up enough money to get free shipping. And it was only like $15 more to get that.
You like, press the button on its stomach and it says stuff.
And it goes,
bad baby.
Yeah. But it's 1-to-1 scale, so, you know, like.
Come on, baby. Let's go.
Cool. Yeah.
Come on, baby. Shit, Jill, you could do it perfectly.
Yeah, there you go.
Fuck, we should have got you to do the synopsis.
Son of a bitch. Next time. I'll do the ADR.
Look,
we'll have a Pedro
just
moment.
Put it all
you can
in,
move
right?
the lips.
My life-size Anzellan can go next to my life-size Lola from the Obi-Wan TV show. Yeah.
You going to get that $1,200 Grogu?
Absolutely not. Although I sympathize with all the people who bought the Master Replicas Grogu when it came out and paid roughly the same amount for the one that they announced, which is animatronic and interactive.
Does it have blinking eyes and the whole thing works?
And hands move, and it will. You can talk to it and it'll react to you. And I was, and it's like $1,200. It's only like a couple hundred bucks more than the one that does nothing. That just stands there.
Oof.
Yep.
Oof.
It came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
Don't worry, though. It'll be fine. Speaking of being fine, what are we doing next week?
Well, speaking of toys.
Oh, what are you going to
say?
Oh, sorry. There. There we go.
There you go.
I'm very excited.
It does
you tell?
Have its own sound, right?
Hang on.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Perfect. Yes.
And yes, it was just off screen.
Is it somewhat weird that I am more excited about going and seeing He-Man than I am about having just seen Mandalorian Grogu?
I wish I had like a closet cosplay that I could put together and go as He-Man. But I don't.
You can't do a
I need like a
She-Ra
vest. I don't have a pink vest.
But what if you do? But I wake in the morning. earnest about
yeah, exactly. Isn't
that, take a deep breath.
Just get a blonde bob.
I mean, I was really excited to see that they did the drone show over LA with the most drones that they've ever done in a presentation. It was huge and it was amazing. And people said, yeah, it was spectacular because they used the most drones in a light show that has ever been used before.
And the brightest ones too.
And then the news
they must have got all the good ones because ours fell in the ocean.
Yeah, as I was saying. And then the very next day after they came out in Australia, we go, oh, we've got Vivid, but the drone show's been cancelled because we lost 86 drones.
Yeah, they fell in the harbour.
They fell in the harbour. Now we've cancelled the drone show.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
Drone show's cancelled. Go home.
Yeah, yeah, that's enough.
2-1 Australia.
Yep. Yeah, should have stuck with the fireworks.
Yeah. I got to say, that drone show that they did for Masters of the Universe was pretty fucking cool. Like,
the one in the LA, big, yep. Giant Skeletor head.
As I said to somebody, I can't remember where, I was just like, man, if they'd just put the big Skeletor head and then just, like, played the audio from the 1987 movie of Frank Langella going, people of Eternia! I would have been like fucking all over that.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah. Look, anyway, we'll know. We're going off this Thursday. Thursday, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thursday. Off this Thursday to go and see Haman. And then join us next Tuesday, is it? I think we're doing it. Is it June yet? I don't even know what time.
It will be.
What year is it? Yet. We've got to get the June schedule. The June schedule out. May your schedule chip and shatter. I know.
Fuck, man, that was deep. It was a deep cut that nobody cared about.
No. Yeah. All right. It's fine. I'm excited about He-Man. I think we're all kind of a little excited.
Yes.
Quinny's going to bring his sword.
Yes, I probably will. Actually, I went to a really cool thing. There was a pop-up in Sydney over the weekend. Like, why they only ran it for 3 days, I have no fucking clue.
Well, hopefully it's because the activation is going to go to the cinema.
That'd be real nice if that were the case, because it was pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, big inflatable Castle Grayskull, and then, like, a really well-done exhibition of, you know, like, old toys. Like, the things that got me, I was like, there were model sheets. There were, like, you know, the some of the specs and stuff like that, old blueprints for like how they were doing the injection molded heads, like real fucking deep cut shit. But then also, you know, a battle cat that you could ride on. And
I want to ride a battle cat.
I want to ride battle cat.
We all want to ride battle cat.
I hate to tell you, but that battle cat is only good from the angle that they take the photo on, because the rest of it is derpy as fuck.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, oh.
Yeah. Well,
but he looks great from the front.
Duh. We don't do show the bad angle. You always get the good side. It's fine. And besides, no one's looking at the battle cat. They're looking at you on the battle cat.
It's true. It's very true.
That's how that goes.
So fingers crossed we get a bit of that. But yeah, like, also, they've done pretty well with the toy marketing and shit for He-Man as well. Like, there are three different tiers of action figures, like, of different price points. There's swords. There's all sorts of shit. I'm like, you know, they've really gone, this is a toy sales thing. Let's sell some fucking toys.
I mean, Mattel, I think, have really kicked it up a notch in recent years with their marketing. I think
There's a Barbie Ken and, sorry, there's a Barbie He-Man.
Barbie
He-Man.
And Teela Barbie.
Yep.
I mean, all, you know, sorts of stuff. If you're a TV show built on a toy line and a toy line built on a TV show, if you're not if you're not including the toys in the movie, what are you even doing?
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that there's a bunch of the cool fucking vehicles and stuff that you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I had that one as a kid. Like, that's what we're going for. That's what we want to see in that fucking film.
Do they have
the rim job action figure?
Yes. He's in a 2-pack with Fisto. I just want to see them do the attack track.
I would love for them to do the fucking attack track.
It moves so weirdly. It doesn't make sense, but it still happens. It's fine.
Yep. Yeah. Who were the other ones that we thought were you? Rimjob, Felchor.
Felchor. Rimjob.
Cock block. and Extender, who's actually a real one.
Yes. We'll get onto that next week, though, because that's all. Save those jokes for next week.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Bring them back out again. We have finished with our Mandalorian and Grogu. We can gonk ourselves now off into
We've
done that. Thanks everyone in the chat. Sorry for anyone who was really, you know, looking forward to Mandalorian and Grogu. Got to say, save your cash. It's all right. But hopefully we'll have better things to talk about with He-Man next week.
Yeah.
So much stuff.
Okay. All right, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, we appreciate you. We love you. You've been a great chat audience tonight. You've had a lot to say. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So enjoy. I guess we'll come back and do it again, Nick.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestion, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links, as you can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes at Moves. Until next time, stay awesome. Until next time, stay awesome.